Yo, everybody. We are Double DM Podcast with their second episode. How is everyone today?
I can't complain. I'm pretty fine, actually. Just had a lovely barbecue this supper.
Oh, supper. You're making me jealous.
Yeah, you should be. You should be.
Okay, but I said you have brought this upon yourself for making me start us off today. I told you that it's gonna be chaotic.
Yeah, then let it be chaotic.
I did it chaotic. I did very chaotic, right?
You did. You certainly did.
Yeah, let's not waste too much time today, like we normally do.
with everything in life, by the way, not just this podcast.
Yes, I procrastinated. Oh God, that word! So much today yesterday, and whatnot on Twitter. First of all, thank you, everybody that's hearing this for already before the first episode aired. We were recording this before the first episode airs for 200 followers on our personal account and nearly 400 on my personal and 200 on the podcast.
Yeah.
Account on Twitter,
just
which is
insane.
Absolutely crazy,
batshit crazy.
The account is still you could say useless. and I want to call it useless, but there is nothing happening there.
Yeah. But, well, let's just enjoy it and...
Yes, I have to
thanks to all who followed us. And
yes, oh my God, thank you everybody. Yeah, I would have drank some alcohol the second we hit 200 followers, but that was like midnight yesterday.
Yeah, I did. I celebrated for us both. Don't worry about it.
We had my family and I still live with my parents, getting ready to move out. But we had a guest over, one, only one, which is still allowed with coronavirus in Germany. We had a guest and we maybe had fondue and alcohol. So
now you're making me jealous. Shut up.
Yes, your barbecue, my fondue. Yeah. It's just normal that I make you jealous now. But yeah, maybe a little bit too much alcohol. So I didn't drink anything. But let me tell you, people, when coronavirus or generally the situation is better and we can meet up safely, we will definitely have something like a celebration live stream going on. Definitely. Yeah.
We will keep you posted on that, how it is planned, or what is planned for that, where you could reach us there, maybe interact with us if you would like to, and just keep on checking on us, if you like.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this episode is the second episode, and we are still in the beginning period of our podcast, so we figured it would be the best thing, which last episode was about our first time. This time should be about interacting with people that have their first time. Not the naughty kind of first time, but the tabletop RPG first kind. First time kind of experience.
Yeah.
So everything, new DMs, new players, completely new groups, what we have observed, and maybe give some advice to people struggling with finding either an entry into this medium or people struggling in getting new people into this medium. Like if you have a friend and he wants to try tabletop and how you should go about this whole process of getting him or her or it, whoever, them into this topic, maybe this episode is best for that topic. But before we get into that, there are we wanted to talk about what happened this week in tabletop and D&D and general space around us. First of all, I think everybody who's hearing this knows this already. The Unearthed Arcana for Gothic Lineages was released 3 or 4 days ago. It's 3 new, not races, but race alterations, you could say. the Dampier, the Hexblood, and the Reborn. And we both have some strong opinions on them, I would say.
Yeah, especially with the confusion with not reading the whole PDF beforehand and just skimming it over. There was some major confusion, you could say, about the topic.
Why don't you just start off with the Dampier or something?
So the first thing I read wasn't about how you created Dampier, Hexblood, or Reborn. I just skipped right to the part where the traits are displayed. And I just wondered if all these traits that were shown there were just on top of the normal racial traits you get. And that would be, in my opinion, pretty weird without a like a sunlight sensitivity drawback or something like that, or a bloodlust or anything in regards to that. And same especially with the Reborn, the deathless nature feature that sparked some discussion between us, and then we just started to read the PDF way more specifically to get why this would be so bad, or why they even thought this was a good idea to release them if they were just bony on top of your racial traits.
Guess what? They are not.
Guess what? They are not. Exactly. So reread and figured out all other racial traits are gone if you use one of the Gothic lineages to create your characters. And for example, for the Dampier, a kind of vampire creature, it just deletes all other racial traits you would get if you choose, for example, a human or a tiefling Dampier. But you get, instead of those, all the traits the Dampier would get, which are shown in the Dampier traits table. So that's that.
Yes, and after reading that, we still had, I think, only one strong opinion on the three. And that was with the Reborn and still the Deathless Nature feat.
Yeah.
Because the advantage against saving throws, against disease and being poisoned are completely okay. And you are resistant to poison, you and TA are immune, so this is a feature that's acceptable. No eating, drinking, or breathing. Also, but it is also included in Warforged, so not much to look at there. Don't need to sleep. Magic can put you to sleep. That's just elves. But there's a fourth one, and that is advantage on death saves. And I have to say, death saves in the game are pretty strict. Like, when you roll a net 20 on a death save, you are up again. You have one hit point, you are back in the game, more or less. You are not dying.
And if you roll one, you fail. And you can do stuff.
You only fail two. So death saves are actually very advantageous for the player. You have a 55% chance for success on one, and if you critically fail one, you're not dead. But if you critically success on one, you are alive. You don't die. So they are actually pretty advantageous for the players already. And I changed that fact a little bit with the. If you roll a 20, you get two successes instead of a complete revive, which, in my opinion, makes it more fair, because death saves should be something that where the stress really pumps your blood as a player. You really should fear about your character and not. I still think that with a 55% chance, of course, you have a slight advantage, but that's not too high. It's
and
just the nature
hit,
of a d20.
Yeah, and if you get hit while you're unconscious, you also automatically fail a death save. So a little chance at advantage for the success is totally fine.
The problem is, I think no other race or any feature in the game gives you advantage on death save. So this is completely new.
Yeah.
The rest is somewhat reflavored from other classes, subclasses, races, feats, everything. Yeah. It's kind of a reflavor, which is very good. But I think, well, in my opinion, the advantage on death saves is a little bit too much. I would have, without it, I would say the Reborn is kind of too weak with what they got. With the knowledge of past life and deathless nature.
Too strong.
You know, and with that, it's just too strong. So maybe delete it and take something else.
Yeah.
Make them completely immune to poison damage, which wouldn't be hard because UNT are immune to poison damage already. So it's not a complete new thing. And maybe give them something else. I can't think of what exactly, but I think death saves are something where nothing should really be influencing you except for the attacks against you when you are unconscious,
or
your own
spells.
Luck, or healing spells. Those are the only few things that should, in my opinion, really influence you in any kind of way when you're making death saves. I actually can see why they put it in, because it makes sense having a person that has cheated death once, cheated twice. That's normal, I would say. But it's still, in my opinion, kind of OP. I have not played a Reborn yet. Maybe it isn't. I have never seen one played. I haven't seen it. But
just on paper, it looks kind of busted.
Yes. On paper, it looks busted, but maybe it isn't. Maybe it is completely the right call to do that.
That's why it's in playtest state, and that's what only time will tell, I guess.
Yes, we will have to look at that. The thing is about Anor of Darkana that I think many things go back to the drawing board for like 2 years before they are released in something like Tasha's Cauldron.
Yeah.
And I completely forget about them. I have maybe played Anor of Darkana things twice. Problem is, both of us are forever DMs. We DM. Like, we get to play games for like 5 times a year or something, like as a player. We don't get to play these new things.
I kind of like using Unearthed Arcana for more advanced or experienced groups as a for villainous traits. I just pick some traits from different subclasses or racial traits at random and think, maybe this could work. For example, in the Big Bad in my new campaign is a Blood Magician, which is some sort of homebrew somebody created, and parts of I created myself, and I fused it with some sort of Unearthed Arcana Onomancy wizardry. So with the true name stuff. But that's the only time I really get to use Unearthed Arcana stuff.
Yes. The problem is, one of the campaigns I'm currently running is pre-written. It's Tyranny of Dragons, which is, yes, it's a pre-written adventure. So I don't put in too much completely new things. Like, I change everything about it, but and I also add in a lot of things, but I don't want to add too much homebrew to it because itself, it should be kind of balanced. Yes, I know, for everyone now wanting to tell me, Tyranny of Dragons is the worst, probably, of the pre-written modules for 5e, because it was the first and it was inherently flawed already. And I want to tell you something. I still like it. It's still very fun. It's still very, very much fun. If you make it, you need to do some work, yes.
The thing I probably would change the most are the long traveling arcs with just random encounters. I think they're a bit boring if you play them as written.
That is the only thing that bugs me about this adventure, that you have to travel so long with meaningless nothingness there.
Yeah, but if you just put in some character arcs from character backgrounds, player character backgrounds, that could liven the thing up. Or something like that. This is the part where you have to put in a ton of work for this module, I think.
It's a completely sandbox, those travel adventures, for especially Horde of the Dragon Queen. It's completely a sandbox, that travel episode. It's 60 days traveling, or 50 days plus 10 days after that. It's a long journey. You can just let everyone roll like for one of the weeks a random encounter that happens. In my opinion, that's completely boring. It's valid, but for my game, it won't work.
Yeah.
Not so much for my players, but for me as a DM. I'm a perfectionist, and I hate letting everything let this just be decided meaningless combat or something. No, I won't do that.
Everything that is done should have a purpose in the game, leading to some sort of revelation for either background stories from characters or advancing the story plot and something like that. Not just, yeah, you were attacked by bandits, but not... And then just add in who sent those bandits. Maybe they can investigate where they came from, why they were sent after them, and stuff like that. And not just, yeah, you were attacked by bandits, that's it.
Yeah, I played every single day of the travel episode with my players. Like I said, okay, we have the next day. What do you guys wish to do for the day? And they said, okay, I want to watch out for anything that could attack us. I want to watch out if we see X and Y, and all of that kind of stuff. But there were some meaningful interpoints. For example, that was the time where I put in a lot of guests that could lighten up the complete spirit of the game, because the players with their characters had a mission. Go there and do this, and do stuff there. So I put in several guest characters that could lighten up the story a bit at that point. I had actually two or three, but two are important. We had a Dragonborn Paladin played by a friend. He was sent actually after the players to evaluate if they are actually the kind of people you want to have to entrust a mission like that, to stop the cult of the Dragon Queen. And with that NPC, guest character, they actually did pretty good in stopping the cult was transporting treasure up to Waterdeep with that caravan they were in. They convinced nearly everyone in the caravan that the cultists were bad and should be thrown out. So the cultists got thrown out. That was initially a good thing they did, but then they realized, shit, our mission was to follow those cultists to Waterdeep and see what they do.
Taps on them anymore.
You can't keep tabs on them. And then we had a second character. And I think you know which character is meant by that, because you actually played that part.
Hello. Yeah, I was playing the Unearthed Arcana Onomancy Wizard, I think.
If mm-hmm. I'm yes.
correct, yeah.
I think his name was Chris or something.
Yeah, it actually was. I forgot his last name, but I know it was Chris.
I don't know if you even had a last name for him. Like, he wasn't that important.
Yeah, and I think it was one of my earlier times playing as a player, actually. So I wasn't that experienced as being being a player and not DMing this stuff. So maybe I just forgot to give him one. I don't know.
Maybe. Doesn't or even matter. Some characters don't need a back.
Because he was an Onomancy wizard. I don't even know if Chris was his real name. Who knows? Definitely not me. Well...
Who should know that? Nobody!
Exactly, because it's your true name.
Yeah, that game, you were the one keeping watch at the night. Mm. And then all of a sudden, you guys were attacked by demons.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Because one of the other players, dreamt that they were attacked by demons. And his dream manifested and attacked the other guys. It was such a fun encounter because the one player that could maybe stop it was sleeping. And you guys had to wake him. So you, with Chris, I think, took the armor of one of the fighter, took some stick or something and banged the fuck out of that armor.
Oh, yeah, I remember now. Oh, damn.
Like,
yeah,
slapping together pots and pans to make as much noise as you could to wake him, but he wouldn't wake up.
That was a fun one, this encounter.
The whole caravan was woken up by this, only for one.
The key player.
The one who needed to wake up.
Yeah, it was pure and utter chaos.
That was actually really, really fun.
Yeah, it was.
Should we go to the next thing on our list?
I think so. Not just the Gothic lineages dropped this week. So an announcer, a teaser for Stuff of Legends was released.
Yes.
A kind of actual play D&D campaign. But they are not just showing the characters, they are cutting back and forth between the players of the characters and their in-game characters, but as Muppets. What they do is displayed as Muppets. So it is kind of fun to see. It's some sort of visualization, not like a computer game or a television series, but just done with Muppets. What do you think about that?
I really like the idea of displaying what happens in the game in some kind of way, be it art that is drawn afterwards and shown, be it the players dressed as their characters and acting that LARPing in the woods, or with Muppets controlled by professionals, let's say that. The Muppets in general, the show and the whole media about it is, in my opinion, great. The comedy, the education you also get from it is great for children. And I think, especially for parents that like D&D, because this passion, this hobby is actually pretty old. Though there are probably a good number of people having kids. I actually know some of them through Twitter. Some of these people have kids now. And these kids, be it how old they are, whatever they do, their parents love this hobby, this passion, tabletop RPGs and old fantasy stuff. So maybe this is the kind of way that these kids need to get into the same hobby of their parents. They can now. It's a great gateway into the world.
Yeah, it is. It actually, you don't have to show all these brutal fights or stuff like that, or torturing scenes, which actually are part of D&D interrogations or any other role-playing game interrogations or fights, actually. You can make it really jolly and fun for every age group, but especially because of the way it is shown or presented, it makes it way more accessible for kids. And it is a great hobby which you can play however you like. So it's a nice introduction to kids of lower ages to actually take part in doing some stuff like tabletop RPGs to just living up their fantasy.
Yes, this passion of us, of ours, of all of us, is just about imagining fantasy worlds, cyberpunk worlds, whatever your imagination runs this time. A kid's imagination is the greatest of all. Like,
yeah,
kids can imagine stuff that
you cannot match.
Can't. Yes, it's impossible. And I really, really like the idea, as I already said, the idea of having this gateway for kids to let their imagination run wild with their parents who enjoy this passion.
Yeah.
Like, there are many people designing games for their kids or letting their kids behind the DM screen and design something for them. It's great. It's a perfect way of bonding with your kid because the kid gets to imagine everything they want. Like, there are no boundaries in the world of fantasy or in the world of what in general tabletops. The only limitation is our own imagination, and that of a kid is endless. The imagination of a kid is endless.
It's insane.
It's a perfect way for them to let their imagination run wild and do whatever they want with it.
Yeah. That's
crazy good.
That's definitely one of the main reasons I like it. Probably, if it is a good show, I will show it to my little brother, who's like 2 years old now. But if he's older, I probably try to get him to start playing tabletop RPGs. And maybe this is a nice way to set a spark for this kind of hobby in him.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know much about the guests on the show, mainly. I know that the DM is Joven Shire, which is, I would say, gaming comedian, formerly known from Smosh, I think. And from what I have seen of the guy, I think he is actually a very great entertainer. Let's see how good he is at coordinating Dungeon Master sessions, because what you need to be there is an entertainer, but you also need to be an authority. You need to be so many things at the same time. And I have not seen much of him, but from what I have seen, I think he can actually be a great entertainer and make this story really fun.
Yeah. So we just see how, where it goes and what comes after that.
Yes.
So,
what's next?
The next thing is a bit more introduction on our personal or on our persons. So we like to tell you or discuss with us with ourselves what kind of media we like, what sort of media we mostly consume, and in which settings mostly, tying all back in the end to the overall topic of this episode of the podcast. So for myself, it is most of the time anime or fantasy or thriller series. So this all ties together in my way of writing campaigns. If I write a campaign, I really like to strike an emphasis on any sort of character background arcs. And depending on what characters I have, I mostly use basic fantasy arcs or go more in the thriller, true crime, criminal stuff. More mysterious and more puzzle engaging stuff. That's my kind of way to do it. What about you?
For me, well, first of all, I really, really enjoy also kind of thriller and drama series as of late. That is something that came like 2 to 3 years ago. I really love drama series. No matter the setting, drama. And good drama. Like, for example, I am right now watching The Crown, which is a drama around Queen Elizabeth II. It is such a great show. It is actually really dirty. Not in the dirty mindset way, but the punches they throw left and right against actual historical characters and persons and figures is wild. Like, Peter Morgan is the main writer and the executive producer, and I don't know where he gets his info from, but I sure hope that those sources he has are well paid for. Because what they tell you is the spice of the millennia. Like, there are episodes where you really think, wow, that is something I would have never seen that character do. because you are not supposed to, as a normal human being. You're not supposed to see what goes on in Buckingham Palace or Windsor Castle. You're not supposed to, but you do through this show. You can't really know if it's true or something of those are fiction.
And even if not, as long as it makes a good story, it's all fine.
Yes, but the problem is if you are breasting is something you only do in German. Price yourself as a historical drama, you need to have historic accuracy, of course. But
definitely.
Yeah, as I said, I don't know if everything is true that has been said there. I think there are some major things that have just been put into the story to make it more interesting or to create a certain morale discussions for the characters there. So yeah, it's hard, but I love drama. So back to that. I also really, really enjoy well-made criminal movies, like these old heist movies like Ocean's 11.
Yeah, that's awesome stuff. I like them too, but
this genius behind that, how they are presented, and the genius they actually represent.
Damn nice in those movies.
Yes, if my player could do that, that would be good as well, but they don't. Yes, we should probably talk about what kind of settings we enjoy most. Settings in overall world that is built around the show. For example, I really like fantasy, obviously, like nearly everyone does.
Like classic high fantasy, or what kind of fantasy?
Yeah, that's the thing. Fantasy is a very, very broad term. It's not just one thing that is fantasy. Many things are fantasy. I mean, yeah, I'm talking about the normal fantasy kind of setting, medieval knights and sorcerers and whatever, no?
Yeah.
That is a term for me, fantasy. Some people call other things fantasy that I wouldn't even call fantasy, but that's just preference, I guess. I like high fantasy settings as much as I like low fantasy settings. I can mm-hmm. enjoy both. I find my enjoyment elsewhere. One is this high explosive magic, for example. The other one is more the mundane jobs of humanity. When I write a setting, for example, if I wanted to be low fantasy, I face way more on the morality in the world, like what do different people from different backgrounds think on some things. And if I have to design a high fantasy setting, I also design that, but I on top of that need to design
an emphasis on that, maybe.
Yeah, it's a little bit less, because yeah. I have to put more emphasis on why it is so high fantasy, what makes this world so absurd and amazing.
I actually like classic fantasy, as you described it as well. And actually, I like something similar, but not with classic magic. For example, the anime Demon Slayer I would describe it as a fantasy, but not with magic, just because you can... or not with broadly available magic, to say the least. The most power the characters draw are from breathing techniques and stuff like that. And stuff like that I really like. Not using arcane power or sorcerous bloodlines, anything like that. Just being able to train yourself to have a kind of magical effects, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm, 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 yes.
And the other setting I really like is cyberpunk. Although I rarely play any tabletop RPGs in that setting, because, for example, the Shadowrun rule set is a bit too complicated for my taste to DM.
I would definitely agree.
Yeah, I just get overwhelmed with the matrix system alone is overwhelming enough, but then there's the astral stuff and all the fighting system alone. It's just a bit too much for my personal taste, although I enjoy the setting overall really, really much.
Yeah, the setting is great, but the rules, in my opinion, for Shadowrun, overloaded. Yeah. There's so much going on, and that is actually great about the setting, in my opinion, also, as well. It's good to have many things for different kind of tastes, but at some point, it just becomes too much if you have to if you can create characters that can cast spells, go into the matrix, do any other stuff. That's just too much. That's way too complicated for anyone to keep track of. Yeah. Like, it's just too hard.
You have to be really into it to get into the rule system to really keep track of all the stuff you have to keep track of as the DM in Shadowrun.
Yes,
that's
definitely
just completely bonkers. Yeah. And any other settings for you or just
there's one big thing, and my players hate me for that. It's first of all I would like to split it into two. I have the very grim fantasies, like dark fantasies. Where the problem is a plague that haunts the country and occurs across the lands or something. Like, really depressing settings where characters have to find joy and hope to survive and have to make the decision between killing an infant or killing an old person. I really love to torture my players psychologically. Even though I love them with all my heart as a person, I love to torture them.
Yeah.
I am that sadistic.
Two-faced DM at its peak.
Yes, I'm really a two-faced DM. I love my players. But if I am behind the screen, your character has to do some hard choices, my friend. And I'm going to throw them at you whenever I can.
I mean, that's character development in a nutshell.
Yes, but sometimes I actually think I do it too much. But I don't care. I love to torture. And that now we come to the second one. The deep, deep horror and existential dread ones.
Like some Lovecraftian Cthulhu stuff. Yeah.
Lovecraftian stuff. All of that. I love
Elder
to
gods,
torture
Outer
my
gods.
Players. Ooh, I love to torture them so much. I don't want to get into this too much, but I had a one-shot once called Mystery in Shawmore Bay, where we played a system called Bubblegum Shoe. That was a system designed around playing teens in the ages of 16 to 20. And those teens actually are supposed to have stuff with normal high school, like who is going to take me to the prom dance. Who is going to be prom queen? I need to get my my grades up or something like that. And I took that system and made it a horror one. Horror one out of it and made a story about existential dread and an eldritch god haunting my five players. And I made this like really, really intricate. It was a one shot that I had to prep 3 months for. And after the session, it was 12 hours long, which is very, very long. Let me tell you that. If you ever played a 12-hour session, you know how exhausting it is. But that one was especially exhausting. Like, it was last year in March, February, where still everything was fine before the pandemic and quarantine. My players left my house and 5 minutes later, I told my Google Home system to shut off every light. I was alone at the time. My parents were, I think, still in Portugal. And I just got to into my room and fell on my bed and slept for like 10 hours.
Understandable after a 12-hour session. Damn.
Like, it was not the length of the session, but how I prepped it.
Yeah.
Like, I had for every scene, I had different musics. I was always ready to switch them. I had control of the lights in the room. I could have just made the room completely dark in an instant with a press of a button to spook my players while the light in the room in the game goes out. I really love to torture my players. And I actually think there maybe will be a full or at least very much part of an episode on one-shots, and especially that one-shot, because it was one of the greatest things I've ever done. I still think it is my best session I have ever run. Oh, in all of my playing. But that's just my perception. Maybe there will be an episode where I talk to some of my players, invite them for that kind of talk about this one-shot. Maybe you do that as well. Like, yeah. We don't know what will happen, but there will be an episode on one-shots, and there will be in that episode I will tell more about this. I just want to say, the setting of torturing your players with Eldritch guards and whatnot is so good, and I love it. And yeah, I want to do something really quick that we maybe won't do again, maybe not, I don't know, something like community shoutout or something, because someone on Twitter is creating such a game where you can't kill the monster and the only option you have is to try to survive. It's called Travel Not Advised, and you all should check it out if you haven't already. It's being created by Authenticity Trip on Twitter. Great person. Great human being. Let me tell you that. Very much insight into game development of tabletop RPGs. The insight is great. And all the threats on the game, I love them. I love this game already, and I haven't even seen it. And I think there is an alpha test going on. Like, it comes out like tomorrow or something. I don't know anymore, but everyone that is listening to this, you should first of all go follow Authenticity Trip on Twitter and check out his game threads about Travel Not Advised, because I will love that game. I will play it, and my players will hate me for it. And I tell you that with all my heart. I know it. I know it will happen. I know we will play this game, and I know my players will hate me for it. I just don't know if they want to hit me in the face or just leave the table and never come back. I'm going for a little bit of both. I have five players. Maybe two of them hit me in the face, three of them leave. That would be a good split, I think.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah. That was the settings we enjoy.
Yeah, settings, some introduction about ourselves. So you just get to know us as people, person, whatever, a bit more. The next thing are stories with new players about either how we interacted with first time DMs or with as a DM with first time players. Would you like to
start? You want to start? Oh, okay. Oh. We are both too polite for that.
Planning on point.
I would like to tell a short story. We were playing the Black Eye or the Dark Eye, as I have learned as of recent, that it's actually called the Dark Eye and not the Black Eye, with a friend of mine. She was playing that standard type of character. An elven girl with a bow in her hand, shooting things. Like, that's your typical first-time character.
Yeah.
For people. And she had the ability to make herself invisible with a spell. And there was some stuff going on. I played an assassin. It was not D&D. It was the Black Eye. So there isn't something like classes, but proficiency. He was an assassin by proficiency. That's what he made his money with. And there was some stuff going on in that village. It doesn't really matter. But he actually got the angry mob to follow him for with every command. Like, he was the leader of that angry mob. I didn't create the angry mob, but it followed me around. So, after we have finished our angry mob mission, whatever that was, we actually partied in the tavern. Eh? Everyone was having a great time. Yeah, dancing, whatever. And the new player thought, I want to sneak in there without being seen. So I make myself invisible. The problem is, you need to be butt naked for that. Your clothes don't turn invisible with you with that spell.
Mm-hmm.
So she got completely naked, walked into the bar, and our DM said, hey everyone, roll a perception check. And I naturally critted mine.
Oh damn.
Like it was an exploding die, for people that know that term. Like, I had a critical success already, but it was even better than a critical success. So, what did my very, very, not angry, but what did my assassin do? He got over to there at the right point and slammed his hand into the wall, grabbing her face, pushing her against the wall and asking, who are you? Because I didn't know who it was. We were like hunting demons or something. It could have been a demon, right? In going into the tavern, I needed to save my angry mob.
The most important. And
then she turned visible in front of like 100 farmers. The most beautiful butt naked elf you've ever seen.
Oh boy.
Like, oh boy. I am actually pretty sorry for her when that happened as a player, because your first experience in a tabletop RPG, it's a really rough start. Like, we all had fun. That's the most important part. If you have fun, you can do everything. If she wouldn't have fun with that, we would have rejected that. Like, no, you don't see her. That would have been fine for me.
Yeah.
But it was just so fun. And she was laughing as well. But of course, she was also kind of embarrassed. Agrees,
it's definitely fine.
But she learned very quickly that's the nature of the game. Sometimes you lose, sometimes you win. And you have to take risks to win. If you don't take risks, you don't win, but you maybe also don't lose.
Exactly. It's not set in stone. If you don't do anything, that you will definitely not lose. There's still a chance, but there's a 100% chance that you will not win.
Yes.
So
it's important for everyone out there. If you don't take the risks, you will not win. And in tabletop RPGs also, I think that also kind of means you won't have fun. Like, yes, your plan may be suboptimal. Yes, that may very well be. But you are having fun, so why not go for it?
Yeah.
Why not go for it? It is fun. We're not here to win D&D. We are here to have fun.
That's the point.
That's the whole point. So, do you have any kind of story you want to tell?
Kind of, actually, the contrary to yours.
Oh.
That's the story I told you beforehand.
Yeah, but I said, for the hearers, we can't say viewers, hearers. For everyone that hears this, he wanted to tell me the story before the podcast, so I won't be baffled by it. And I said, no, I want to hear it. So the people outside there hear how baffled I am.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening now, but it has been already teased to me that it's so chaotic and I already love it.
So it was a homebrew campaign from some guy on Reddit. I asked if I could play it so he gave me permission to do so, and I played it at home with my friends. One of those were a first-time player, actually a good friend of mine, and she asked the other players to help her build her character. She had one particular idea what she wanted to play. You said the player you talked about played a classic elven ranger type of character. This player actually went the completely different route, and the first ever character she built was an Oathbreaker paladin.
What? Like,
exactly.
That's the kind of class I would never play as my first time character.
Exactly, my thoughts
as
well.
But maybe that's exactly the reason why she, and also kind of I, would actually play it, because it is so unexpected.
Yeah, but it's definitely damn hard to roleplay that.
Mm-hmm.
Reminded that this whole group was kind of goody two-shoes characters, and then there was one Oathbreaker. Yeah. Yeah. There were definitely new challenges tossed at me from that alone. Because how is a overall pretty good aligned party going to accept an evil Oathbreaker paladin into their party? That's the most interesting kind of first-time player story I really have. Just this batshit crazy character choice. All other things were just me playing with new people because I didn't have anybody who already played the game for a long time so he could give me any tips. So I just grabbed a couple of friends who wanted to try it, and we all were new. So it was all very chaotic at first. And this was the one of the first times that myself, as a more or less experienced tabletop role player, got into a situation where I got a new player at the table.
But I have to ask this question now. How did she play it? Was it the goofy kind, like I take the Oathbreaker, but I play it like it's like if you are new, you maybe do not roleplay this as perfect as someone who has played this several times would. But did she also really go deep into that topic of being an Oathbreaker, or did she just take the Oathbreaker because it's the choice that would take make the most chaos at the table, but not in the game?
Kind of both.
Oi, oi, oi.
Yeah. it spread a little chaos, but it got sorted out eventually over the course of this 5-adventure type of small campaign. But it was definitely a rough first adventure. A bit chaotic, but also fairly well roleplay, very well role played for the first time ever. So, and that was my only and first and only interaction with an Oathbreaker paladin, actually. So, kind of fun too.
I have an Oathbreaker right now in one of my games.
Oh.
He has a great story arc, I can tell you that. And if he hears this episode, you know who you are. I love your character. I really would hate for him to die, but with what happened already in that game, maybe he does at some point, and I would be very sorry for that. I love all the characters in that game, actually. Every one of those is very, very interesting, but I really love that paladin. I won't show mercy, but I love the paladin.
Yeah, that's you can do so many great story arcs or character arcs with nearly every class, but I think most of the charisma based classes have the most the greatest potential for more intertwining, weirdly complex character arcs that can be spread over a longer period.
Yes, I think that most of the charisma casters have some sort of innate story to them.
Yeah.
Like the warlock, the paladin, have already a great story. The sorcerer, okay, they have their bloodline. So every class has somewhat of a built-in story, maybe except for the fighter, because the fighter is the fighter. It's basic, basic, basic.
Yeah.
But that's also sometimes exactly what you want. You want a basic human, just is normal, and stands in the middle of this
Red Dragon Slayer, but yes. You can still slash the shit out of it.
Yes,
but normal human being, basically.
Yes. You have it amongst this group of weird-looking people with weird abilities, and you are just a human with a sword in your hand, and you... Yeah, like this meme where I don't know why I'm here, where I am, I know only one thing, I must fight.
Yeah, that's like, exactly that. Sometimes,
sometimes you just need a fighter who is just there because they are normal. Because many people forget that a normal character with the character trait of being normal is a real great story arc if you have a campaign that is about weirdness and powerful characters. Having someone who, for example, can't cast spells in a high magic campaign could actually be very interesting to play. Yeah. Very, very interesting, because he can't understand the magic to full. He is therefore, from a normal standpoint, to understand something that is such a great concept. And people forget about it.
Yeah.
It's so great, actually.
Normalness
I love
is
it.
Very overlooked in RPGs in general.
Yes. Is there one thing I... No, I actually think with one story from each of us, we are actually pretty good in the time. So let's jump to the last point, which is the most important point of every episode from us. At least we hope that we can give advice or tips on anything in every episode. So we would like to talk maybe about what a DM could do if they have a new player, what a new player could do if they start out in the game, what a group that is that consists of only new players, what they should or could do. This is all suggestions. Like, you could say, fuck you guys, I do my own shit. That's totally fine. But we are just here to say our opinions on the topic. And maybe if you want to hit us up on Twitter and discuss with us, please
go for it.
Please do. We want to discuss on a set basis. Like, we don't want to get through the underbelt hitting like these low punches. Your shit. Your opinion is shit. Civilized conversation. Do it, please. I want to talk with people. I want to talk with you.
That's why this podcast exists. Because we both have a need to talk about stuff and want to interact with new people. So that's why we started this podcast. And no hate, no low punches, just civil conversation, idea, traits, something like that. That was the goal for it, at least for me.
Wait, you're not on the Hope for Tabletop RPGs Discord server, right?
No, I am not.
That server just launched like yesterday or something. It's it was made by Hope for Tabletop RPGs on Twitter. Hope. That is a very neat server already. Like, there are so many people on there that I have been already somewhat interacting with. Not too much, since it is a fairly new Discord server, but it is there. It is there.
We'll definitely check that out.
That's definitely for connecting with people and discussion. Maybe you will also find, you will hear about this podcast. Please go there and support the people there, because from what I have gathered right now, all of them are awesome. All of them. Not a single one is not awesome there, because every single human being is awesome. That is the advice for today. You are awesome. We also have other advice, but you are awesome.
Yeah. So do you have any specific advice that you would give new players or new DMs or whole new groups?
I do, because I had recently thought about what new players I had and what, in my opinion, they did right and wrong. First of all, the best advice I can give for new players is play something you're familiar with. Like, I have a friend. His name is Daniel. He is in the same esport team as me. We play a lot of League of Legends together. And he is that kind of guy that's arrogant, never backing down, maybe a little toxic. Not toxic in the way of he is an ass to people, but in the game, he is an ass to people. He's very cool. He's very competitive. He's a very cool human being. He is very friendly and funny and generally a joy to be around. But he is very competitive when it comes to gaming. And he plays the fighter, a tiefling fighter, whose very big character trait is that he is arrogant and never backs down from a fight. He will never surrender, which is exactly how, like, it's a play style that suits him because he is that type of character. He, out of the game, is that type of character. And I've seen this once before with a friend of mine, with actually my best friend of all time. He also played a character that was very easy to play for him because it is just his own personality in a character. And that's actually one of the best advice I can give. You can think about making a very intricate character backstory that explains a lot of stuff about your character and how their flaws and personality traits work and all of that stuff. But for your first character, I would actually tone that down and just play something that you're familiar with because you are that. If you are competitive, make a competitive person because it will very well be natural to you to play that character. You don't need to do a silly voice or a funny voice. You don't need to do accents. You don't need to do any kind of that stuff because you can just play as yourself.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Every combination of race and class and make them your character. Like, play something you like as a race and class and theme of the character, but the personality should be somewhat familiar to you. Maybe it's not your personality per se, but it could be your favorite video game character, which you have played over 300 hours with. You also know that personality. You could play that, but like, you should play something that feels natural to players, because at first role-playing can be very weird. I always say, if you feel weird doing it, you are doing it right. But sometimes feeling weird means you should just stop doing it.
Yeah, that's exactly the balance you have to find. And there is not really any sort of advice we could or I can give on finding that line where it is. If it is weird, you should stop, or if it is weird, you are doing it right. That's the walk on a mirror's edge. You have to find the balance yourself through experimentation and just doing it. And my advice would be, for the case that you do not want to play anything that close to you, for example, your personalities or characters you played as in video games or something like that, if you create your character, I would always start, if you have a character concept, by, for example, with D&D, first choose your background and then anything else, just to have a set character concept that you got in your mind, write it down, and then you have it encourages to be weird while role playing. If you understand what I mean by that.
Yes. I started with the game The Dark Eye. And there you first start off more or less by choosing a profession. The thing that defines your character. It's not a class. It's the job you did before going on an adventure. So it's the things you can do because you are you. And that is very important. You select a culture and a profession. It makes perfect sense that those two things craft your character, and then you can go into, okay, but I want to have a bow. I want to start fighting with a bow. Want to shoot a bow and an arrow. That is something you can put in afterwards, after you have selected who you actually are. Yeah. It's important to, I always make characters like this. I set a personality in mind, and then I create a character class and race that fit that. Like, the race is not important that much for me, but the class is important, that it fits the personality I have already thought of. Like, I start with the traits, the ideals, the bonds, the flaws. Those are the first things I think about, because they make the character the most enjoyable for me. If I can play a fun, interesting character, I don't care if the class or race fit or not.
Yeah.
Because I have fun playing it.
The way I do it is, for example, for D&D, I choose a background first while having a character concept where it should go in mind. So
that's
something
nice.
Completely different from my backstory. So I just have a raw character concept and I choose which of my which background I would like to have. Then I'll choose which class I want to play as part of my overall character concept. And after all that, I tie them together with my backstory. So you have a bit more flexibility and some storytelling capabilities and options for your DM.
Yes.
That actually would be the next tip. If you write a complex backstory, leave room for the DM to put this backstory into the campaign you are playing.
But I want to say, if you are a first-time player, don't bother that much with a backstory, yeah. Actually. You should have one, but you are not supposed to write perfect stories from the start.
Exactly.
Which is actually the advice I want to give to DMs, to people that either start as DMs or take up the DM seat for the first time. Don't overthink stuff. You are doing great. Your players are there. They want to have fun. It doesn't have to be perfect. Take media. That is why we actually talked about the media we enjoy, that you love, and take it and spin your own thing around it. If you love cyberpunk as a setting, do a game in a cyberpunk setting because it will feel natural to you to improvise if your players do something you didn't expect them to do. It is very simple because you know the rules of that world, how it functions normally from the media you have consumed. If you love, like me, Ocean's 11 or any other kind of heist movie, then boom, you have a one-shot planned. You have a heist movie type of one-shot, plus you have a setting. That is the two key things to making an adventure for D&D are already set. Boom, done. And now you can start with the little stuff. What fights do they want to do? What story threat is the one overarching the whole game or something? Copying stuff is not bad, especially for your first game. The complex thinking of stories and worlds that
it
DMs that have played for
over time and time.
Several years, done for several years, that will come. That will come to you. Not one DM, I at least think so, sits in a dark corner for 2 hours thinking just, hey, how can I do this interesting? The most inspiration comes to me when I do other stuff, and then I quickly grab a notepad or open a Word document, write that idea down, and get on with my life with something else. I get back to playing a game. I get back to work or something. Ideas will come to you. But first of all, get the first idea, the first game out there. It doesn't have to be perfect. It won't be perfect. Like, perfect in the sense that you can't improve. It is perfect if you have had fun, because that's the whole point. It's the whole reason.
Exactly. And the next advice I would like to give is something similar to something we touched on already in episode 1. For a DM, don't worry if you have something not prepared and you are not that good yet in improvising. Don't worry about it. Just tell your players, sorry, I haven't prepped that yet. I will answer it the next time we play. I will do research on that or will write something about it. Just tell them, they will definitely understand it in 98% of the time.
Just and the other
worry,
2% are games where you shouldn't even bother, in my opinion.
Exactly. You don't pressure yourself into having or needing to have everything prepped, because you can't prep everything. Just prep what you need and have fun with the game. If some question comes up that you don't have answers to and don't feel confident enough to improvise yet, just say that and it is all fine, or it will be fine.
Yes, and one last tip from me, one very quick thing. if you are on a DMing high, like you think you are invincible and nothing will ever go wrong, there will be a time where a session you have done won't feel good to you. It is natural to sometimes fall down, but you need to try again. You need to take the experience you have got from that session. Analyze why was it bad or why did I felt it was bad. It doesn't even have to be bad. It's just your perception of it. Your perception as the DM was, they could have gone better. Yes, it could have. So how do you influence that it goes better? Never say something, yeah, my players don't do that. Yes, they don't. Then talk to them. Communicate with them. Hey, yeah. Guys, could you sometimes engage more in the role play I throw at you? You don't have to play the game at them. Play it with them. It doesn't matter if they want to play a game which is just numbers crunching and having awesome fights. Then you as a DM can either talk to them like, hey guys, could we maybe get more into the role playing aspect? And the players probably will be fine with that. Or you could make it slow, like have awesome fights, but then slowly drift down on those fights and go more into a morality discussion about why they are actually fighting, for example. For everyone that watches anime, in my opinion, the greatest way of seeing, of having that what I just described as having, first of all, the meaningless story and the high action and cool fights and, into going into a way more dark and depressing setting, or at least having way more morality, humanity, deeper characters, having more characters instead of just one or two, is Attack on Titan. Yes, the first season was an action roller coaster, and that is why many people liked it. But the second and third season were not meaningless action. They were calculated touches into deep characters, development of any kind, death, meaningless of life, topics were discussed that were actually never to be thought of in the first season. The fourth season has done a great job already of making a very good end to all of that what happened. They had this action roller coaster at the beginning, which really dived down into this deep character development arcs of 2 and 3 and 4 combines all of that. Like, you don't have to have the perfect game at first. You can develop your game into something better than it has already been. That is something you can always do. And do just, it slowly if you have to.
And just talk to your players about which type of game you want to play, set the expectations, and you're all good.
Yes, session zero is something we will probably have a full episode on.
Like probably, yeah.
Somewhere in the future. The session zero is very important, in my opinion, after I have done some of them. It sets the tone of the game. You can talk to your players. The biggest thing is communication. You need to communicate with them. If you don't communicate as the two groups at the table, the DM, which is just you, and the players, those are two separate things, and they need to communicate with each other. The players also, between each other, need to communicate. But if you don't communicate stuff, it at some point will blow in your face.
Yeah. And oh boy, we are already at 1 hour and 30 minutes again. That went fast, I think. So, want to wrap up today's episode?
We talked about new stuff in the D&D verse, you could say, or in the tabletop verse, the Anne of the Kind of Lineages, which in my opinion are very great because of all the things that they also set the tone to.
They're definitely
and
interesting to play.
The stuff of Legends stuff. We talked a little bit more about ourselves, which was important for this episode. We had some stories and yes, we gave you advice on everything new. You can, yes, that's kind of a badly recap by myself.
Just a quick recap. So, yes. Just at the beginning, at the beginning. Yeah, sure. At the end of
we
the
are starting.
Episode. Yeah, hey. Just a quick shout out to our friend Paul at The Screwdriver on Spotify, who made the intro song for this. You can also follow us on Twitter at DoubleDMPod. We also now have a Instagram account where we share information. Also,
oh, yes.
DoubleDMPod.
We do.
Yeah.
Totally forgot about that.
Yeah,
sorry.
That's all just happened this week. So
yes.
We just wanted to thank you guys all for 200 followers on Twitter already. Awesome community. Love it. Would like to interact with you guys even more.
211 at the moment of 211 recording.
211 at the moment. Jesus Christ. Damn, that's good. Yeah, so just thank you for listening in and hope we see you on the next episode, which will be about playing tabletop RPGs during the COVID-19 pandemic. So just a quick disclaimer, if you don't want to get into that kind of stuff, we totally understand. We have some guests over probably for the next episode. So if you don't want to listen, don't worry about it. We totally understand. And just so you guys know beforehand, before it comes out.
Yes, it's important to let you guys know not everyone is comfortable with this topic, and we don't want anyone to feel hurt by our podcast. We are doing this for fun, and we hope we will never, ever do you any wrong with this. If we do, please hit us up. We are already very sorry, and we will change stuff for that. Definitely.
Yeah.
If you have a problem with us, with what we do, please tell us. We are human beings, and we want
to... We will
to,
make mistakes.
We will make mistakes, of course. Yes. But
and to improve on them, just as our advice said, if you have any tips for how we can improve, hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, or anything other.
Yes.
And yeah, see you guys on the next episode. Have a nice evening. Bye.
See you.